And the person, the guy that she was speaking to, he all of a sudden started to explain to her, well, I'm glad that things have been going well for you and that I was able to help you through some things, but you need to know I've been dealing with some things as well. And then it dawned on me, the person that was speaking now, the guy, was a pastor. And all of a sudden, as he's explaining all of the trials and tribulations and trouble that he's going through to this woman who was just saying how much he had helped her, all of a sudden I just went, freedom! And I just started screaming, freedom! And then all of a sudden, it was like an angel choirs, it was a worship or whatever, coming from the heavenlies, started to just sing. And they started to sing, I am free to run. And I could just see myself doing the Roger Rabbit, what is it? The running man, yeah. And I'm like, I'm doing this in my dream, right? You know, it's like, I mean, I'm literally doing the running man. And all of a sudden, I got this microphone that looks like the microphone that we have here, and I'm holding the microphone, and I'm outside, and I'm running around, and every person I saw, I just, did you know you're beautiful? And I'd be running around this building that we were at, and I, did you know you're beautiful? Didn't you know you're beautiful? I am free, freedom! And I just keep yelling this freedom. I'm like, wow, what's going on? Oh, I don't need this, right? Because I'm speaking with a different one. But I was just so stirred, right? And all of a sudden, boom. I mean, there was more stuff that was going on. But anyways, wow. I wake up. I went to bed at midnight. I woke up, and it was 2:23 in the morning. And I felt refreshed. I've been up since 2:23 this morning, guys. So I feel totally refreshed, right, at this time. And I'm like, wow. So I do the thing that you normally do when you wake up and you don't know what the heck to do, right? I'm like, I'll just lay here. And I start going through all of the things that's happening in the spiritual realm with the living God that lives in me. And I start to think back now to Tuesday night's dream. As I'm rehashing this, I'm yelling, you're beautiful to people and freedom, and I'm free to run, and I'm having this joy fest with God, right? I wake up at 2:23 saying, good morning, Holy Spirit, already at 2:23, right? So I think back to Tuesday night's dream. Tuesday's night dream was totally different, but it was very real. Tuesday's night dream, I'm dreaming of a female individual who's an older individual in their late teens, early 20s. And I get a very, very specific name, a little shaky on the last name, but very specific on the front first name. The initials I will only give to you were LS, okay? Nobody in the church here, all right? So any females in the church here, wasn't in the church here. It was a person in Michigan. Matter of fact, it was more along the Brant area, but it was very specific dream. And in the dream, this girl committed suicide. And I was telling the family about this girl who had just ended her life, right? Wake up. And I'm like, wow, this now it's Wednesday morning. I wake up, 4:30 in the morning, and I immediately, it's prayer closet time, right? I rebuke the spirit of suicide in the name of Jesus Christ, and I just go to battle, man. I just go to war on the behalf of this girl named LS, if you will. To the point, this was so very real, guys, that I got up and I went on Facebook Messenger and I typed in the names and I'm looking for this person, okay, because I'm going to call this person because it was that real, right? Now, to give you a little more feedback or a little more understanding on how serious this was to me, some years back, I was woken in a dream, very real, of somebody who died. Not an hour later, I was called, and the individual that called me told me that the person I had just dreamt died. And so it's very, very real to me. God speaks to me in those areas at times. And the thing is, it's the living God in me that this is taking place. I'm talking about supernatural things, guys. I don't want you to get freaked out or nothing. I want you to understand that God speaks to you if you move the ear flaps and can hear, right? So in the process, I got more, right? So in the process of this, I go to battle Wednesday morning, right? Have the dream Tuesday into Wednesday morning. And so I haven't heard of anything. So I'm just saying, hey, God heard my prayer. It's all good. I don't know where this person's at. Very specific name. Don't know, never met the person, but I'm believing that they don't have suicide on them anymore because I covered it in prayer. I believe the Holy Ghost woke me up for a specific reason for that. So back to this morning. I'm up at 2:23. I'm laying in bed. I'm like, what the heck do I do? I'm like, good morning, Holy Spirit. Wow, you're beautiful. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. Freedom. I'm free to run. All this stuff going through my head, the previous dreams, my encounters with God. And then all of a sudden, my wife who's laying next to me, I hear her go, and I'm like, oh, shoot, she's dreaming. I'm like, Jesus. So I shake her because I'm awake, right? Hey, what are you doing? She's like, and I'm like, hey, what are you doing? She goes, leave me alone. I said, you're dreaming. What are you dreaming about? And she goes, Holy Spirit. You can't make that up. I said, wait, just to clarify. What? Leave me alone. No, what are you dreaming about? Holy Spirit. And I said at that point, thank you, God. I got it. I'm up. I'm out of bed now. And the time, now I woke up at 2:23 from the initial dream. She's having a dream about the Holy Spirit, apparently, because she don't remember. She remembers the Holy Spirit, but that's it. At 3:23. So at 3:24, I'm out of bed now, and I'm going, all right, Lord, well, what are we doing? Okay. Really cool stuff to me. I'm saying, look for it. Look for it. Look for it to be on the increase. Look for the signs and the wonders. Young men will have visions and dreams. You'll not grow weary. You're going to run the race that's set before you. Holy Spirit, who? Takes me to Acts 19, verses 1 through 7. Now, there's some really specific things in this that are kind of cool. It says, while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior province to get to the city of Ephesus. He met some disciples in Ephesus. I'm going to stop right there. Paul's traveling around. Let's try to get a word picture here. Paul's traveling around. And all of a sudden, he walks up and he meets some disciples in Ephesus. Now, a disciple back then and now are those that are followers of their master, followers of their teacher, followers of their rabbi, followers of Jesus Christ. Are you understanding me? Yeah. So Paul sees these guys and he's like, oh, disciples. He meets these disciples. Hold on to that. And then he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers? Question mark. Stop there a second. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. What I'm picturing. I'm picturing that Paul was walking down the streets of Ephesus and he heard someone speaking Christianese. He heard someone speaking like a disciple of Jesus Christ. So he goes to meet them. You gotta follow me. He goes to meet with them. And then as he meets with them personally, one-on-one, he goes, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Because they weren't displaying something. He heard them probably speaking. I mean, he knew they were a disciple. Either somebody said, hey, they're disciples. Or he heard that, hey, these are disciples based on what he heard. But the evidence of being a Christian, of being a true disciple, wasn't there. Do you understand what I'm saying? And he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers? So they're saying they're believers, but he's asking, did you receive the Holy Spirit? Because something was missing. And they said, they answered him, no, we've never even heard of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, who? We cannot be the church, the body of Christ, and deny the power of God that lives in you. You cannot be it. You're going to be the disciples that were baptized by John the Baptist. Religion has done that. It's time for religion in our lives to die. The tradition of man that has made the Word of God of no effect. The Holy Spirit is the very thing that gives us the intimate encounters with the living God. It is the very living Spirit of God that lives in you. Holy Spirit, we didn't even know what the Holy Spirit was. And Paul asked them, what kind of baptism did you have? And they answered, John's baptism. Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. John told people to believe in Jesus who was coming later. They're chewing old food. They were eating stale bread. They were drinking old wine. It was old stuff. It was past tense. It wasn't the new Nikes, man. It was junk. It was good at the time, but Jesus has already come. And Jesus has crucified and died on a cross and went down to hell and took the keys and rose from the dead and is now seated at the right hand of the Father interceding. And when he left the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, to live and rule and reign in his body of Christ. And they went, wow. After they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began to talk in other languages, tongues, and speak what God had revealed, prophecy. About 12 men were in the group. Number for government. An entire government was changed in Ephesus at this point. There was no longer a point of being naysayers or just lukewarm Christian. They were now going to be on fire. They were filled with the power and presence of the Holy Ghost. They realized what difference was in them and the change that took place. New creatures. The Holy Ghost, man. The Holy Spirit. Genesis 1:2. From the very beginning, the earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep water. The Spirit of God was hovering over the water. The world was formless. It was void. But the Spirit of God hovered over all of it in the very beginning. The very thing that does the work as God speaks. The Holy Ghost is a spirit that creates. It was the Holy Ghost that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. It is the Holy Ghost that has transformed you from carnal nature to incarnal. Is that the right word? It's my word. The Holy Spirit is undeniable power and the undeniable sign that God lives in you. The Holy Spirit is the undeniable sign that the power of God lives in you. He will speak to you. He will come to you. He will make his home in you. He will bring peace when there is none. He'll bring joy when there is none. Encounters with a living God. Intimacy of a relationship. A very thing that transforms you. You think you got an addiction you can't break? Get into the Holy Ghost. Galatians 5:22-25. But the spiritual nature produces love. The spiritual nature, the Spirit of God produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no laws against this, because this is the perfect will of God. You can't put a law against something that's the perfect will of God. There's no law against it. Those who belong to Christ, say, I belong to Christ. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their corrupt nature along with its passions and desires. And this is where it started to get really good for me. Verse 25. I'm reading out of God's Word. New King James Version would use the word walk. The word walk simply means, in the fullness of Greek, walk in line with. This word walk means walk in line with. My version I'm reading out of says, if we live by our spiritual nature, if we live or walk in the Spirit, are you with me? Then our lives need to conform to our spiritual nature. I used to look at this, though, and read this about all of the stuff that I had to do. I used to look at this, you need to follow me. I used to look at this and go, man, the Spirit's in me, so I've got to walk like the Spirit. I've got to do this. And it was a burden. It wasn't right, because in the flesh I was trying to do what the Spirit was well able to do. And so then I reread this and I go, if we live by our spiritual nature, all right, now I'm living by my spiritual nature, because I'm not the same old me, I'm a new me, right? Okay, so now that I'm a new me, then my life needs to line up. Matter of fact, it says, then our lives need to conform to our spiritual nature. In other words, when we walk in the Spirit, it's not an option for the spiritual nature to disobey. When we walk in the spiritual life is going to follow. When we walk in the Spirit, obedience follows. Nothing that we have to do. It's the Spirit of God that's in us. So when I walk in joy, love, peace, man, my life is filled with joy, love, and peace. When I walk in hatred and anger and all that stuff, wow, then my life is filled with that. It's the difference. It's the flesh versus the spiritual nature of God. It follows. When you walk in the Spirit, everything else lines up, is what I'm trying to get at. Do you follow me? Well, then I look at the natural thing, though, and I look at anger. And I'm like, well, anger, man, that's a carnal way of living, this anger. And then I'm reminded that God can get angry. God has a righteous anger, a righteous indignation. I think of what God has done throughout the Word of God, he tells us. I think of Jesus turning over the money changer tables. And then I think of Scripture that says, be angry, but sin not, right? And so I'm like, well, how does this relate? God, how does this relate? You see, God's anger always has a purpose that builds up and makes better. Our anger breaks down and makes worse. Do you see what I'm saying? So in the essence of this, the closest thing I can come to this is I remembered 2 years ago, I was diagnosed with high blood pressure, right? Went to the doctor. I wasn't feeling very good. Doctor says, man, your blood pressure 160 over 100. You need to be on pills. Now, those of you who know me, I've been in the medical field 30 years. And so immediately I wasn't feeling too good, and I thought, okay, let me get on some medication. 3 days, 5 days, I went, wait a minute, hold on. If I continue to take this at 46 years of age, I'll have to take it for the rest of my life. I got angry. I got so incredibly angry that I did something about it. You see, what happens is I believe the Spirit of God pushed in me so much to change, and within a week's time of changing my diet, my blood pressure dropped. In a week's time, but I got angry at the right thing. Many times when we're getting angry, we get angry at others when it's really us. But I got angry at what I was doing, and I believe it was a righteous anger, because what it did is it built my life up. It built my life to the point where I became a health coach. My wife works from home now. Oh, Jesus, can you see the bigger picture of this, how God can move? He used my fleshly issue to create a godly masterpiece. And he'll do the same in your life. Holy Spirit, who? You see, the Holy Spirit has a lot of names. The Holy Spirit just doesn't go by Holy Spirit. So in case you haven't heard of the Holy Spirit before, let me give you some other names. Holy Spirit names would be Breath of the Almighty, Spirit of Counsel, Eternal Spirit, Free Spirit, Free Spirit, Good Spirit, Comforter, Power of the Highest, Spirit of Might, Spirit of Adoption, you're adopted, Spirit of Burning, Spirit of Judgment, Spirit of Christ, Spirit of Glory, Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Grace, Spirit of Knowledge, Spirit of Truth, Spirit of Life. You'll hear some of these words again. You'll hear some of these names again. Spirit of Understanding, Spirit of Wisdom, Spirit of Prophecy, Spirit of the Fear of the Lord. That's a big one. That is a big one. Got something for you on that one. Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of the Son, capital S, and the Spirit of Revelation. the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, brings all of that. You need revelation? Ask the Holy Spirit. You need understanding? Ask the Holy Spirit. You need wisdom? Ask the Holy Spirit. You need knowledge? Ask the Holy Spirit. You want eternal life? Ask the Holy Spirit into your life. And the list goes on and on. Many names, but one in the same. And he lives in you. Or say, he lives in me. Those of you watching Facebook, type in right now, he lives in me. Holy Spirit. I want to talk about the sevenfold Holy Spirit, or the sevenfold personification or personal nature of the Holy Spirit. You see, all my Christian life, I focus on the fruit of the Spirit, that nature. I focus on the love, joy, peace, right? Patience, kindness, gentleness. I focus on that. But the sevenfold Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord, is out of Isaiah 11:2. I heard this several times the past couple weeks in prayer as someone was speaking out prayer, the word in prayer, and it just dropped in me. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. This is a major prophet, Isaiah, who was speaking before the Messiah ever came, but he knew what was to come. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. That's Jesus Christ. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. Seven different spirits? No. One Spirit with seven natures of God. And that same Spirit lives in us. The Spirit of the Lord lives in us. The Spirit of wisdom lives in us. The Spirit of understanding lives in us. The Spirit of counsel lives in us. The Spirit of might lives in us. The Spirit of knowledge lives in us. And the Spirit of the fear of the Lord lives in us. Proverbs 1:7, very important. New understanding, hopefully. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Stubborn fools despise wisdom and discipline. Now, hold on. This is what I want to argue. This is what I will say. The fear of the Lord is the Spirit. And it cannot be, unless you are saved, you will not have the fear of the Lord. Do you hear what I'm saying? And the fear of the Lord is not runaway scared. The fear of the Lord is an awesome respect. Yeah. Yeah. You will not have an awesome, awe-giving respect of God without the Spirit of God, the Spirit of fear, living in you. Amen. You see a Christian walking around, doesn't care about God or anything he says or does, he's not a Christian because he doesn't have the Spirit of God living in him. Not trying to split hairs, I'm trying to make it make sense. You see somebody like that says, I believe in Jesus. Well, there were 12 disciples in Acts 19, verses 1 through 7. They believed in the Jesus that John the Baptist talked about that was coming, but they had no clue about the one that had already came, the one that already was in power and the one that left the Comforter. Amen? Romans 8, 1 and 2. So those who are believers in Christ Jesus can no longer be condemned. The standards of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, who gives life through Christ Jesus, have set you free. I'm free to run. You are beautiful. The standards of sin and death we've been set free from. The standard of sin and death is no longer ours to have. Amen. We've been given a gift. No condemnation in Christ Jesus. Romans 8, 11 through 16. I'm going to close in this scripture. Does the Spirit, the one who brought Jesus back to life, live in you? It's a question mark. It's a question mark. It's Paul speaking to Christians in Rome. And he says, does the Spirit of the one who brought Jesus back to life live in you? You see, he's learned to ask this question because didn't he ask it to the disciples that he met in Ephesus? And in Ephesus, what did they say? Who is the Holy Ghost? I never even heard of him. Holy Spirit, who? So Paul's like, okay, let's get some things straight here. And he says to himself, man, there's a lot of people that know about Jesus, but they don't understand the true power that they have. Do you see what's going on? Do you see what's happening here? Paul is going town to town, city to city, trying to set some things right. And he's asking them specific questions. Is the Holy Spirit live in you? And when they go, yes, then he goes, ah, you know, good deal. I don't have to kick that dog anymore. Amen. Then, the one who brought Christ back to life will also make our mortal bodies alive by his Spirit who lives in you. He's reaffirming, he's saying again. So brothers and sisters, we have no obligation to live the way our corrupt nature wants us to live. You got no obligation. I love it. You don't have any obligation to be the same you used to be. Right? Right? Anybody, everybody, you know, my last name is Mikey. Mikey's growing up where I'm at. I mean, set on alcohol, drinking. I got a brother that died from cirrhosis of the liver from drugs and alcohol at the age of 34. And I could walk through life going, I'm a Mikey, this is what I do. But I am not him anymore. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Do you understand? Do you understand? So brothers and sisters, we have no obligation to live the way our corrupt nature wants us to live. You got no obligation. You don't have to live that way because you've been given something better. You have something better. The Spirit of God. You're beautiful. I'm free to run. Freedom. I don't need alcohol to dance on the dance floor because I'm free in Christ. I'm free indeed. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Certainly, all who are guided by God's Spirit are God's children. You ain't got to live the way you used to live. You're God's child. You haven't received the spirit of slaves that leads you into fear again. What are people going to think? What are my old friends going to think if I try to walk out this Christian life? Why don't you walk out the life of the Spirit that lives in you? Don't worry about Christianese, churchese, whatever. Listen, if the Spirit of God is in you, you enjoy coming to church. All right, because you're going to get something out of it. Because the Word is not boring, it becomes Rhema. It becomes the living Word of God. There's a transformation that takes place. It's not the same old, like a little kid going, man, do we got to go? I wanted to sleep in. No, you're different. There's a change. We're standing up. You haven't received the spirit of slaves. You haven't received the spirit of slaves. You haven't received the spirit of slaves that you used to have. That's what you used to have. You were a slave to the world. You were bound by the world's ways. You're not the world's norm. You're biblical. You're transformed. You're new. You're different. You're not living in fear. You're living in courage. You're adopted children, by which we call out Abba, Father, Daddy. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Amen. The Spirit of God testifies with your spirit that you're God's children. Don't question. Don't question your salvation. Be assured. Be assured And if you've got a question, it is the Spirit that confirms it. Quit saying Jesus and God. Ask the Holy Ghost to confirm it in you. Holy Ghost, come. And if the Holy Ghost isn't in you and you're like the disciples of Ephesus, then let's bring him in. Let's call him in. Holy Ghost, come on in. Holy Spirit, you're welcome. Comforter, you're welcome. Come on in. Fill me new. I'm different. The world says, you're a little crazy. I don't care. Call me crazy to my face. And I'll say, you're beautiful. And I'm free to run in Jesus' name. Stand to your feet, man. Let's close in prayer. Jesus Christ is the living God, and the Holy Spirit is the living Spirit that lives in us. That's something to be excited about. That's something to be grateful for. God, we are grateful. Father, I pray right now that if there be anyone here that does not know your Holy Spirit, that does not know the power of your Holy Ghost, that does not know who they have that can live in them, that, Father, they would say, Holy Spirit, come and live in me. And, Father, if there be anyone that doesn't and never heard of this Jesus, Father, I pray that they would surrender their life right now, that they would come to you and they would just say, God, I'm done playing games. I'm done pretending. I'm done trying to do things my own way. Forgive me of my wrongdoing and come and make me new in you. And that at that time they would ask to be filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit. And Father, I thank you that in doing so you change them. That they would see with their eyes clearly that they're beautiful. That they would be able to hear how awesome they are by knowing you. And that they will be able to run free. Father, I just speak freedom over this body. I speak freedom over everyone that hears this message. And Father, we declare you are our majesty, our King, the Lord of glory, all the days of our lives. And I thank you that you bless my brothers and sisters in Jesus' glorious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have fun this week and listen to God.